Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Levi's.
Coming up on NBA Today, we are less than 3 weeks away from the end of the regular season. It's kind of hard to believe. And the Warriors, they are hanging on for their playoff lives. Will Steph Curry be able to keep this dynasty afloat? And speaking of the play-in, how important is this upcoming road trip for LeBron James and the Lakers? Big Perk and Brian Windhorst, they are here with the best case scenario. Plus, don't look now, but the Bucks, they are finally healthy. How dangerous can they become playoff time? NBA Today starts right now. Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Levi's, alongside Brian Windhorst, Kendrick Perkins. I'm Malika Andrews. How's H-Town doing, Perk?
I mean, it's a little rainy. You know, it's rainy outside, but it's all good. It's all good.
It's 70 and sunny here in Los Angeles, but that is not where we're going to start our show. We start our show in Minneapolis with the Golden State Warriors. They went into the fourth quarter with a lead over the Minnesota Timberwolves. Remember, though, the Dubs, they came into last night only a game and a half ahead of the 11th place Rockets. All right, we're going to pick this one up here in the third quarter with the Warriors leading 60-57. Steph Curry uses the pick here, Brian.
Oh, don't go under that screen on Steph Curry. Holy Moses.
Knocks down the contested three. He's heating up from the outside. Warriors up six. What
they
did I say?
Again. They did it again. That's what happens when you drop. You have big men, but you drop on Curry. Trouble.
That's when Britney Spears would say, oops, he did it again. Curry, 22 points through three quarters. The Warriors lead 81-78 after three. Curry would sit shortly after with 4:07 left to play in the third quarter here. And here come the Timberwolves. Nikhil Alexander-Walker hits that three, ties the game, and then watch here. Chris Paul, a little ball pressure, a turnover here that the Timberwolves force, and all of a sudden, the Wolves pull ahead in this one, Brian.
Yep, they went to the corner there. Mike Conley, he's a smart man. And why is Steph on the bench?
Steph still on the bench, watching as his team falls farther and farther down. Remember when
Mike Conley again.
Steph
still on the bench.
Still on the bench. What do you think he's thinking right there?
Why am I not in the game?
Well, now he is, but perhaps it is too little too late. Steph Curry pulls up for three here. Can't quite get that one to go. Golden State gets another opportunity. Steph, yes, sir, that one's good. Tie game with 3:26 left here. Timberwolves up by one. Nikhil Alexander-Walker.
That was good defense. What are you going to do?
Not much. Check that. Jaden McDaniels. Timberwolves up by three at this point. Steph Curry doing it all, putting the team on his back here in the final seconds. The Warriors down by three. Klay Thompson elevates. Can't quite get that one to go. The Golden State Warriors fall to the Timberwolves 114-110. The Warriors, remember, they had a 5-point lead when Steph went to the bench for his extended rest. And we do mean extended, because by the time he came back, the game, it really felt out of reach. Curry played 32 minutes on Sunday, which, at first glance, it might seem like that's not that much, but it is in line with his season average. So here's Steve Kerr on Curry's minutes load after the game.
We can't expect to just ride Steph game after game after game. You know, these last few weeks have been really tough on him. We've put the burden of this franchise on his shoulders for 15 years. If you want to say that him playing 30 minutes instead of 32 is the difference in the win and the loss, I totally disagree with that. And we're trying to win the game. We're trying to keep him fresh.
Yeah, obviously, you're comparing it to last game and the Manoa rotation. Like, I want to play as many minutes as I'm fresh and able to. Play the whole fourth quarter in India against Indiana. Didn't work out. This didn't work out. So we got to find somewhere in the middle.
I think that's fair. Steph's been carrying this team for the last 15 years, but you keyed in on his minutes in the fourth quarter of this game, Brian, versus the last game that we saw him.
Yeah, they've clearly made an organizational decision after the All-Star break to reduce his minutes. He's been playing 32 minutes now for several weeks. And then on Friday,
that changed a little bit. They played in the whole fourth quarter in a game against the Pacers, which they were ahead big and early and then lost the lead late. And it was 35 minutes. And so that was the most he's played in over a month. And so obviously they were trying to correct that. And I think they just kind of overcorrected.
Right.
And look, at the end of the day, they're playing in Minnesota. Minnesota is one of the best teams in the league. They're playing at home. The Warriors losing this game is not a stunner.
Right.
However, when you see Steph sit for that kind of a stretch in the time when the game is maybe being decided, and it's unusual, obviously it feels weird, and it certainly felt weird. You could tell Steph by just looking at his face on the bench. He wasn't used to that, and so now they got to figure something out for tomorrow night.
Steph is averaging his fewest minutes played in, like, the last five seasons. So we have seen this happen overall. And I do want to give the Minnesota Timberwolves credit. They played a great game. Their fourth quarter woes, which were a big problem for them pre-All-Star break, really, they seem to have settled that a little bit. So it's not just that the Golden State Warriors lost this game. Minnesota came out and they took this game. There were questions of how they were going to play without Karl-Anthony Towns. It seems like, at least for now, some of those questions have been answered. But, Kendrick, when you're looking at the Warriors, are they going to need more from Steph? Whether or not that is fair in order to keep this dynasty and their play-in hopes afloat?
No, they're not. I mean, he's doing everything and more. And Malika, Wendy, look, you cannot drive a vehicle with just the rims, okay? You need the rims and the tire, right? Right.
Sounds now, like he knows
Golden
some experience.
State Warriors,
I know.
Right now, the Golden State Warriors are asking Steph Curry to be the rim and the tire. And that's not fair. Now, he could be the tire, but where's his rim at? Who is going to be that guy to help him out on a consistent basis? When you have a team and you have veterans like CP3, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, like, nobody can hold the fort down enough or be able to carry their weight on a consistent basis. Look, it's a lot of times that I do disagree with Steve Kerr, but on this point, he's right. And maybe the writing is on the wall. Maybe he actually said and said, you know what? We're not good enough to compete in the Western Conference. Why should I run our franchise guy, our heart and soul, Mr. Golden State himself, into the ground? Steve Kerr is right on this one. Somebody else got to help the help.
I will say, Malika, this does kind of fit into the actions over words characterization because the Warriors may not say what they actually think about their chances this year. They may say that we think we can still win everything. But the fact that while they're in an all-out fight for play-in, not play-in, that they would elect to reduce Steph's minutes with an eye towards long-term kind of illustrates. And, you know, Perk and I have been going back and forth on this. I've been refusing to let go of the rope on the Warriors. That action is kind of speaking towards the way the Warriors are looking at it.
Right. Well, and to that point, both Draymond Green and Steph Curry, they were asked about the state of the Warriors after the game. Take a listen to this.
How much are you now kind of tracking the Rockets?
I don't give a damn about the Rockets.
The situation will define itself pretty clearly, and it is in kind of real time. So every game matters. You know, we're inching closer to the other end of the standings that we never thought we'd be in. Nobody's going to wave the white flag and say, you know, you're mailing it in. And if that means playing more minutes, then I'll be ready to do that.
So the Warriors, they dropped their first game of an all-important five-game road trip. You can see here, this could really end their hopes of moving up past 10th in the standings. But looking at the end of the road trip, they have one home game against the Mavs, and then they have that game against a team that is behind them in the standings, the Rockets. So Wendy alluded to this, Perk, there's a lot of basketball that's still left to be played here. But the Warriors, they are at risk of missing the play-in completely. So what would the ramifications be if they do?
I mean, I don't want to say nothing, but they actually would be in a great spot, to be honest with you. I mean, because at the end of the day, let's be honest, are the Warriors going anywhere? Absolutely not. That uphill battle that they have to fight to get out of the play-in tournament or to stay in the play-in tournament and then make the play-in tournament, get into the postseason, that's a tall task to ask. But what they can say is, you know what, we done seen some production from Jonathan Kuminga. We've seen some production from Pajewski. Like, Steph looks still like prime Steph. So they have some decisions to make, but I wouldn't look at the Warriors season if they didn't make the play-in tournament or the postseason and say that it was a failure. Because in my eyes, is no other organization that has been through the adversity like the Golden State Warriors has been through this season at no level. No level whatsoever. With the Draymond Green suspension, with the Klay Thompson contract, you know, negotiation not coming to a stance, all that stuff, the Golden State Warriors have fought through that type of adversity like no other team.
Well, let's just be honest about the Warriors situation. If you look at where they are relative to what they thought at the start of the season, Kevon Looney is out of the rotation. He's been a mainstay for them. He's no longer contributing. Andrew Wiggins having arguably the worst season of his career, maybe not even arguably the worst season of his career. Klay Thompson has been demoted to the bench.
Right.
Chris Paul has been largely injured and made some impact, but not a major impact. Steph is having a good season, but he's not having a great season by his standards. He's borderline All-NBA at this point. I don't know if he'll make it or not. They've just gone down.
But didn't we got sucked in? We got sucked in for, you know, a month and a half after Draymond Green returned, after Wiggins got back and looked a little bit better, like they got healthy and it said, oh, okay, maybe the Warriors are here. I don't think we would have had those same expectations.
I agree with you, but I think we got sucked in thinking that they could maybe get back into the first round of the playoffs.
Right.
We never thought, oh my gosh, they're back to 2000.
Absolutely, yes.
And I just think that when they get to the end of the season, they're not even going to have to make announcements that they're going to do. They're just going to say, look what happened.
Yeah.
And we're going to say, yeah, we know. We've been watching.
We'll sprinkle a little bit of good news in for Golden State Warriors fans. They do have the easiest remaining schedule in the Western Conference. The Houston Rockets, they own the tiebreaker over. So Houston would have to finish with a better record straight out than the Golden State Warriors. If they are tied, the Golden State Warriors have that tiebreaker. So Houston has to have a better record. They have won six straight without arguably their best player, Alperen Şengün, eight straight games overall. They're 10-1 in the month of March. So I'm not saying that this is not a tall task for Golden State, but I still would give the edge to the Warriors, but that edge is shrinking every single day. So we're going to go from the 10th seed to the 9th seed because the Los Angeles Lakers, they put up the most points since Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar donned the purple and gold. This is what we're talking about. We're going to pick this one up, the Pacers and the Lakers here in the first quarter. Early, Pascal Siakam, woo, throws it down.
Look, this was one of those games, was an absolute track meet, and some of those old dudes who've been having tickets at the Laker games for decades, they were having great memories of better days.
Austin Reeves, a little no-look Kendrick Perkins out to the corner.
Oh, I mean, I love Austin Reeves when he's the playmaker. You see that, Dom? Austin Reeves say Luka could do it. Damn it, I could do it.
Going ahead to the third quarter here. Anthony Davis says, yeah, saw you earlier, Pascal.
This is a rematch of the in-season tournament final.
This is the Anthony Davis that you want to see.
Anthony Davis had a great game here. LeBron James drives, finishes strong at the cup. James had 26 points. The Lakers, they lead big at this point. And then Anthony Davis just putting an exclamation mark, really, on this one.
This is an important win because they go on the road now. So they had to get this one.
In the fourth quarter here, a minute left to play. After entering the quarter up 17, the Lakers lead by 6. Davis does what he'd been doing all game. Davis 36 points, 16 rebounds. The Lakers up, but then Tyrese Haliburton nails that three-pointer. So the Pacers only trail by 4 here. Why not? Let's try it again. Ding! Got that one to go too. The Pacers, they only trail by 3 with 20 seconds to go. 4-point game. Tyrese Haliburton, that's the man you want to get the ball. Just couldn't quite get it to fall. Look at that final score, 150-145. My goodness. So with the win on Sunday, the Lakers, they are a season best 7 games over 500. And if you feel like, yeah, you know what, it's been a little while since the Lakers have been there, well, that's because it has been a little while. This is the furthest over 500 they've been since May 16th of 2021 when they finished the 2021 season 12 games over. We're going to get into the Lakers a little bit later on our show. Still to come on NBA Today, Giannis and the Bucks, they struck the Thunder in the second half last night. How dangerous are they now that they are back healthy? And Brian, he tells us why Zion Williamson's stellar play, it could have the Pelicans in prime position come playoff time just a couple of weeks away. Also, the madness of March, it is in full swing this past weekend. So whose NBA draft stock has improved? Whose went down after round 32? We're going to tell you. That's next on NBA Today.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA Today is presented by Levi's. The floor is yours.
We had plenty of movement in the Eastern Conference playoff race over the weekend, so let's catch you up. We're going to start in Miami hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers here. So we're going to pick this up under 10 seconds left in the first. The Heat up 19, Brian Windhorst. Uh-oh, here they come.
Well, what we have here, Malika, is a Sunday afternoon game in Miami in March. Let's just say this has been seen before. There's a name for it. It's called the Miami flu.
Yes, this is the Miami flu, or what my dad, Mike Anders, would call a good old-fashioned butt whooping, because that is what the Miami Heat handed out here. The Cavaliers turn it over, ahead to Jimmy Butler, throws it down.
Evan Mobley came back for the Cavs in this game. That's the only thing I can say about it.
That's the only good news. 121-84, your final score. The win goes to Miami. And how about the shorthanded 76ers? Against the Los Angeles Clippers here, Tyrese Maxey really put this team on his back.
This was also an afternoon game, but that's not what explains it to me. The Clippers are 2-6 in their last 8 home games.
Is there such a thing as the Los Angeles flu?
There is, but I don't expect the Clippers to be dealing with it, and especially not after playing so poorly. And this was a really nice win for the 76ers, who are fighting for positioning out east.
And we get to see James Harden back in Philadelphia this week. Philly gets the win, 121-107. And then the Milwaukee Bucks, they are hitting their stride at the right time. And one in Dame time.
It's the first time Giannis, Dame, and Chris Middleton played together since February 3rd. And boy, big surprise, they looked good.
Chris Middleton elevates, hits the three here. And see who their opponent is. A top-seeded Thunder team, Giannis Antetokounmpo, throws it down. Nice little connection from Chris Middleton to Giannis. This is what we've seen for years and years, the championship DNA.
I can't speak to the Milwaukee flu, but this also was an afternoon game.
Milwaukee flu, that would be a new one. I do know this,
That'd be the literal flu.
Exactly. The Bucks. That's what you get when you're in the Pacific, when you're in the Midwest. The Bucks, though, they picked up another statement win over the Thunder on Sunday. They continue this upward trend that we've seen. It was their 25th game under Doc Rivers. Milwaukee really started to steady the ship after a slow start here. The Bucks, they're looking good at the right time, and ESPN Analytics actually gives Milwaukee an 87% chance to end up as the 2 seed out west. The Boston Celtics, they have locked up that number 1 seed, but Milwaukee does have a 3-game cushion, under 3 weeks left in the regular season here. So Kendrick, they're healthy. They look dangerous, but just how dangerous can this Milwaukee team be?
Dangerous enough to take the Celtics to a 7-game series if they match up, and then may the chips fall where they may. Look, I'm not going to sit up here and act like I'm not witnessing Bobby Portis come in off the bench and be a candidate for Sixth Man of the Year and has had monster game. I'm also not about to sit up here and act like I haven't witnessed Damian Lillard look comfortable offensively under Doc Rivers. And I'm also not about to sit up here and act like I haven't witnessed Patrick Beverley effect on this team along with Doc Rivers in that locker room and the way that they attitude have shifted after the All-Star break. Defensively, I'm watching this team, they're locked in. You see them communicating. You see guys give a certain amount of effort that is needed for a championship caliber team like that. This team is the real deal. They're finding their stride. They seem like they're enjoying one another. And most importantly, Doc Rivers have the ears of that locker room.
Well, look, injuries are part of the game. So I'm not going to just say, you know, you can blame everything on injuries. But when you evaluate a team like this, you should evaluate them when they're healthy, and they are.
Yep.
In the last few games, Chris Middleton has come back from that ankle injury, and he's made a really big difference, particularly as a distributor. He's averaging 8 assists in these 3 games since he came back. He had a triple-double against the Thunder yesterday, and it just takes the pressure off of Giannis and Dame to do so much creation. Also, it allows them to blend their lineups a little better when they can use all 3 of them. Middleton is not having a great year, but he's still such a major talent that you can't just overlook. You adding him in mid-March, it really changes their dynamic.
This was the Milwaukee Bucks at their best. Good defensively, great rim protection, switched really well. They looked like a team that could go toe-to-toe with the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, if that all is how it ends up being in terms of seeding. But on the flip side of things, the Thunder were dominated inside.
Yeah.
They just were. This was sort of a question that we'd had about OKC. They were held to a season-low 32 points. They were out-rebounded by 20. I know that can be a little scary when Giannis is on the other side, but Brian, not all teams are as physical as the Bucks. I get that.
This didn't go on when Kendrick Perkins was patrolling the paint for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
It did not, but did this shine a light on maybe OKC's biggest red flag here?
Yeah, so this is their biggest weakness. Some people would say youth is their biggest weakness, but youth doesn't mean that you can't succeed. It just means you're not proven yet. They don't have an interior presence. They, at the trade deadline, Malika, they elected not to go out and get rebounding help. Now, maybe that's because they didn't find a deal that they liked. What they did at the deadline, they picked up a pick swap from Dallas that could be very fruitful down the line. They picked up Gordon Hayward, who is actually not making much of an impact. He's only playing 17 minutes and averaging about 5 points. He hasn't been doing much. They may be able to trade him later for a piece. I'm not saying their deadline failed, but it didn't deliver the rebounding help that they could have used in this push towards the end of the season. And that was very much on display on Sunday.
I'm with you on that, Wendy. When you think about Chet, we know Chet is an awesome talent. Defensively, he's going to protect the basket, one of the best in the NBA. But when you think about what you need to get out of the Western Conference, when you might have to battle Anthony Davis or Domantas Sabonis or Jokic or whatever, call Anthony Towns if he comes back. Like, you need that interior presence in the Western Conference, and they don't have that. And guess what? If they happen to get knocked out in the first round, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. They put the world on notice. This is a team that is built for the future. And right now, they're going to go through their growing pains in the postseason. And I trust Sam Presti, out of a lot of GMs, that he will fill that void for us getting them an interior presence to play a long set home grid.
By the way, the Thunder are still contending for that top seed in the Western Conference, but do you know who holds it now? Oh, yes, it would be the defending champion, Denver Nuggets. And we have talked about this all season long, Kendrick. That is not what the rest of the Western Conference wants to see. But as the regular season winds down, we do have a wonderful Wednesday doubleheader on ESPN. James Harden back in Philadelphia. What do you think? Standing ovation, Brian?
It'll be something.
It will be something.
It'll be loud. I'm not sure it'll be an ovation.
The Sixers at 7:30 Eastern. And then Nikola Jokic. The West leading Nuggets host KD, Devin Booker, and the Suns. Coverage tips with NBA Countdown. That's at 7 o'clock Eastern. Coming up on our show, though, the Clippers, their struggles continued with another huge loss at home to the 76ers. Is it time yet? Are we hitting the panic button with the postseason looming just a couple of weeks away? And what's it going to take for Boston to reclaim the nickname Title Town that Perk knows all too well? Well, Windy, he's forecasting something that could be brewing, a storm out east perhaps. Plus, we give you an all-access look into LeBron's preparation for the postseason. Don't go anywhere. NBA Today, we'll be right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita!
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
there's nothing quite like the Wild West. And this season, it's lived up to the name.
The West is absolutely insane.
I'm not ruling out anything.
Edwards getting up, and good night!
The Warriors, the Lakers, the Suns.
This offense is borderline unstoppable.
Jokic for the win!
Got it at the horn!
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Levi's.
Yeehaw! I mean, if Beyonce's Cowboy Carter is coming out later this week, she's going country. It's time for us to survey the wild, wild west. We're going to start with the defending champs. They notched their 50th win of the season to regain sole possession of first place. After a win over the Blazers, Michael Malone said, "I don't know how many teams you can say across the NBA are playing better than the Denver Nuggets right now." We're going to ignore the third person part, but Brian, are there any?
The Celtics, but they're 2-0 against the Celtics this year. And this game that you were referencing right here, Jokic and Murray sat, didn't even need them to win on the road.
And that is why I think the answer might be no. Next up, the Pelicans. Zion Williamson scored 36 on 13 of 14 shooting in a win over the Pistons. Perk, his field goal percentage has improved each month this year. Is this the best version of Zion we have seen yet?
Hell yeah, and it's not even close. He's been the most dominant player in the league in the paint, using his strength, his athleticism, and his skill to get to the rim. I love what Zion has been doing here. I love what the Pelicans has been doing.
Well, let's shift over to another big man who's been balling, Domantas Sabonis. The Gonzaga product posted his 53rd consecutive double-double over the weekend. Oh, all right. Well, tying Kevin Love here, the longest streak since the merger. Brian, does Sabonis deserve, as Perk says, to make All-NBA?
Yeah, he's going to make All-NBA. I don't think the streak is getting enough attention. 53 consecutive double-doubles. It's the most since the merger. And he's going to tie the most since Elvin Hayes in 73-74.
Beep. All right, last stop. The Rockets, they got their 8th straight win on Saturday thanks to another monster game from Jalen Green. Houston, however, will be without Jabari Smith Jr. tonight after he and Chris Dunn, remember, they're both suspended for throwing punches. So, Perk, does this team look like they will be backing down anytime soon?
Hell no. They're coached by Ime Udoka, and their guy leading the charge is Dylan Brooks. This team is not going anywhere, and they have a promising young star in Jalen Green, who has elevated his game since Shangoon went down.
Well, look at this. The Rockets are the hottest team in the West, winning 8 straight games, 9 of their last 10 overall. They've really turned it up in March, winning 10 games this month, which has helped them in their push for the play-in. Houston won 10 games total between the months of January and February. We have less than 3 weeks, Mr. Windhorse, left of the regular season here, but it's getting a little bit windy in here. I know all eyes are on Houston, but you are forecasting potentially something else.
America. God, I love America. Okay, we got a big thing going on this week out in Sacramento, believe it or not. A baseball series. That's 2 games. Mavericks at Kings. This, to me, could decide that all-important 6th seed in the Western Conference. These 2 teams are essentially tied right now. Now, Dallas does play at Utah tonight. I'm going to give it to them. Don't tell. So that means, look right here. This is the most important, Malika. Remaining strength of schedule. Look how much of an advantage the Mavericks have. So these 2 games that are being played in Sacramento this week, in my mind, if they split them and they go out and they're still tied with the Kings, they have the advantage, even though they're down here. They have the advantage in the remaining schedule. I like the Mavericks to win the 6th seed if they can split this week. And if they take them both, they're in great shape. If the Kings take them both, they could have the edge, because I think the Suns are going to take some losses on the way in, as you've been talking about.
Right. The most difficult, one of the most difficult remaining strengths of schedule, the Phoenix Suns. But let's check in with the great and powerful Perk. Who do you see getting the 6th seed, Kendrick?
I got the Dallas Mavericks, and Luka I trust. I'm telling you, outside of Jokic, he's the most dangerous player in the Western Conference. We see what Kyrie Irving has been doing as a Robin playing alongside him. This team has been consistent. Sacramento has been up and down since the All-Star break. Well, all season long, Phoenix also has been struggling to find identity. So if I had to put my cards in the hat or on the table, I'm going with the Dallas Mavericks.
So whatever the Dallas Mavericks hat that's on the table, that's where Kendrick Perkins is placing his cards. I understand that you have something else.
By the way, I love that Windy watch.
I do too. Good thing
I don't like Perk over my shoulder. If you want,
does it feel like great,
like
powerful Oz to you?
All right, this is something that I wasn't expecting to have to talk about at this point in the season, which is the LA Clippers in trouble in the standings, and they are, after losing yesterday. They have really put themselves up against it against the New Orleans Pelicans as they're about to go on an East Coast road trip. They have really struggled since the All-Star break. They have completely lost their mojo. They were pretty much untouchable, Malika, for like 2 months. We really thought they might even get the one seed. Now they are barely hanging on to the four as they head east. And if you look, you can see how the Pelicans have made up this ground. It's not been anything that we could expect. Look at this record against teams over 500 since the break. 1-8. Look at the ground that the Pelicans have made up. I mean, that is crazy. And the Pelicans are going without Brandon Ingram and are still in great position to catch the Clippers. And look, it's not so much about whether you get four or five. I believe the Clippers can win a road playoff game. But they set themselves up now potentially to have to play Denver in the second round, even if they beat the Pelicans in the first round. And I don't even think they can get in the top three. That's almost closed right now. So really struggling for the Clippers. They have got to get out of this funk. And defensively, they have just not been the same team.
It was not that long ago that we were talking about the top four seeds in the West really being a lock. The Thunder, the Denver Nuggets, the Timberwolves, and the Clippers in some way, shape, or form. And now, that isn't necessarily the case, but it does look like we're well on our way to seeing the Clippers and the Pelicans match up in the first round here. Do you think, Kendrick Perkins, that home court is going to dictate who has the advantage in this series?
I do, especially when you're looking at a young group like the New Orleans Pelicans, because I stand on this, and this is facts. Role players play better at home. So when you have a young group like that, role players are going to hit shots. Role players are going to feed off the energy of the crowd and dive and go for 50-50 balls and go for offensive rebounds. And when you look at this New Orleans Pelicans team, Zion Williamson, just him alone, he feeds off the energy of that crowd. And you get a guy that's already full of confidence right now playing at the crib, it will definitely be a disappointment for the Clippers if they let the Pelicans get the home court advantage. It's why I got them as my sleepers are coming out of the Western Conference. About the Pelicans.
So those are our forecasts coming out of the West right now. But we do need to check in on the East because the Celtics, they've officially clinched the one seed in the Eastern Conference. But you still have your eye on Boston. Why?
Let's keep an eye for the next week on Drew Holiday for two reasons. Yep. Number one, he's dealing with an arm injury right now. He got hit last week. He's missed a few games.
Out again tonight. It'll be his fifth straight.
Not super worried about that. He says he's getting better. But the one thing I want to talk about is starting 1 week from today, April 1st, he can sign a contract extension for the Celtics. And I think, Malika, there is interest on both sides to get this done before the playoffs. Now, he has an option for next season for $39 million. He could sign, starting on Monday, 4 years and 221. I don't think it will be either. I think what's most likely is he will not use that opt-in. He will not use that option. He will take a new contract that lowers that number and stretches it out. They traded and extended Kristaps Porzingis.
Yes.
They traded and I think are going to try to extend Derek White this summer. The Celtics have extended Jaylen Brown. They're going to try to and probably get extended on Jason Tatum this summer. They extended Peyton Pritchard. Malika, they like this team. They want to lock it in, and I think that they will try to do that with Drew Holiday in the very near future.
But this is an expensive team, Brian.
Oh, yes.
When you're looking at Jason Tatum signing the largest contract in NBA history.
Three bills.
Eclipsing that was signed by his teammate, Jaylen Brown. We're talking about a whole lot of cash here, Kendrick. So Boston's the clear-cut favorite. They just are. Jason Tatum told me this is the best roster that he has ever played with, including that 2022 finals team. But the question is this version of the Celtics, if they fall short yet again, should they run it back or should they consider some changes?
I feel like I've been in this position for the last 2 years and my answer is not going to change, right? They have all the pieces that they need. If this group falls short, like, this is a complete failure. It's championship or bust. And it's this way for the Boston Celtics, in my opinion, and no other team in the NBA. And when you think about Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, it's almost going to get to the point that if they don't complete the mission, like, even if you're with Grosbeck and Brad Stevens, you got to start having doubt at some point. If they don't complete the mission with all the success that these young guys have had in the past, if they don't get it done this year with this roster and these pieces that they added with Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis, this is a problem.
I think they're going to, I mean, they don't have very many options.
I think they're locked into this roster for next season no matter what.
Right.
After that, let's see, but they may have a championship by then.
Well, and if they do, you know, then all bets are off. Then absolutely you're going to run it back.
Yeah.
Hey, Kendrick, we got a lot to get to in the final 20 minutes of our show. I have a question, though. What do you think? Zach Edey, Donovan Klingon, Victor Wembanyama, or Luka Doncic? We're going to have the answers, a little this or that, on the other side of this break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're gonna love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Well, at least it went out with a bang.
Bang! It went out with a bang!
Mike Breen?
You said bang. That's my line.
Well, I meant more of like an electrical fire bang.
Like this?
Bang!
No, like bang! 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 Bang!
That's a pretty good bang. But what are we going to do about this bang?
Oh, you don't need a catchphrase. You need a jingle. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm is here to help.
Bang!
He really went out with a bang.
The NBA on ESPN, presented by State Farm.
Right now, as a 16-year-old, what's your long-term goal?
To get to the NBA.
The Cavaliers select LeBron James.
I want to be an NBA player.
Giannis Adetokounmpo.
Try to make it to the pros if I have a chance.
That happened, baby.
Everybody loves playing NBA.
I'm going to just keep working hard. And someday, it could be another one that could be compared to me.
Man, it's pretty wild to see all of those young stars with their NBA dreams laid out in front of them, but it is happening all over again as we say hello now to our draft expert, Jonathan Givony. Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us as the round of 32, at least on the men's side, is wrapping up. I wanted to take stock leading into this NBA draft. First, let's just take a look here. This is the NCAA lottery picks. This is according to Givony and Jeremy Wu. You can see here Zach Edey at 14. Donovan Klingon, who was really impressive over the weekend, at number 5. Who are the biggest winners, though, in terms of draft capital that you've seen in these early rounds, Jonathan?
Malika, the two biggest winners are Donovan Klingon and Zach Edey. I'm talking really big winners. Starting first with Donovan Klingon, the performance that he put on last night against Northwestern, I was there at the Barclays Center. One of the most impressive defensive showcases I've ever witnessed live. Just hedging out past the three-point line again and again, extinguishing the ball handler, rotating to protect the rim with both hands, multiple effort plays, inhaling every rebound, blocking 8 shots. Honestly, I counted 10, 14 points, 14 rebounds, 10 blocks, a triple-double. You don't see things like this at the college level. An NBA GM texted me and he said, Rudy Gobert or Donovan Klingon? And I said, Donovan Klingon last night. Holy cow. Zach Edey as well. The most dominant player in college basketball right now. 31 points, 20 rebounds in the opener. And then yesterday, just an easy 21 and 11 at halftime. We're talking about a guy who is incredibly physical, incredibly competitive. He doesn't quit on any play. He anytime he gets the ball inside the paint with 2 feet, it's an automatic dunk or a foul. This guy has done an incredible job this year, just increasing his mobility, becoming a better passer, a better shot blocker. His processing speed is improved. There's a reason why he's a lottery pick. You look at guys like Jonas Valanciunas. He's 5 inches taller than him. He can play that type of game, but just with almost a half a foot taller.
Edey, Klingon, certainly two to keep an eye on throughout the rest of this NCAA tournament and also the draft in June. So those are the winners, Jonathan. I'm not going to say losers, but potentially some players whose draft stock has fallen a little bit. Who do you have your eye on here?
Malika, the biggest losers are us because Kentucky lost in the first round. They were the best show in college basketball this year. NBA scouts were really looking forward to seeing how Reed Sheppard and Rob Dillingham handle themselves as we move into the tournament. These guys were, they looked like they were built for March. Reed Sheppard, you know, I haven't seen him play such a poor game all year. He looked like he was playing with the brakes on all game. He was passing up wide open threes. Rob Dillingham down the stretch, you know, some really wild moments. First half, really tried to get his teammates going, tried to push the ball inside, punish the zone. It did not look that they were prepared. We didn't see any adjustments from them all game long. I think the moment was just too big for these guys. The pressure of John Calipari not winning a single game in the NCAA tournament. One game since 2019, that's just too much for these young guys to handle. Unfortunately, they lost to Oakland. They were scorching hot. Jack Goldkeep, you know, 32 points, career high at this moment. It's really unfortunate for us, honestly. I mean, these guys had incredible years. They're going to be really high draft picks, but I was looking forward to seeing them play in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, a bummer not to get a little bit larger of a sample size from those players. Jonathan, before we let you go, some news that I do want to hit in our show today. The G League Ignite shutting down after 4 years after this season. Why was that decision made?
I think the NBA wasn't getting the return on investment that they were hoping for in terms of the dollars that they were spending on this roster, the salaries that they were paying these players. The NBA, the basketball world is in a very different place right now than it was 4 years ago when G League Ignite started. Players have a lot of different options now in college. They can make, you know, seven-figure salaries there too.
Right.
And I just don't think that players were coming in being as prepared for the NBA as GMs and coaches and owners were hoping for. We saw guys like Scoot Henderson, Jalen Green, Jonathan Kuminga, Jaden Hardy. They saw their draft stock drop during their G League Ignite, and then they weren't all that prepared coming into the NBA. So I think the league was looking at it and saying, what's the point? You know, these guys should be in college. We can save a lot of money, put it in different places. We're hearing that they're going to be spending a little bit more on the EYBL Scholastic, you know, high school league that just came up. There's a new program in France that they're looking at putting money towards. The NBA Academy is a costly endeavor. I think they're going to be rerouting that money to different places.
Reallocating that budget because we are seeing so many different paths now to the NBA. Jonathan Gavoni, thank you so much for stopping by NBA Today. We're going to be seeing a whole lot of you as we lead up to the NBA draft. Coming up tonight, though, on ESPN, the NCAA Women's Championship second round. It continues. Syracuse squaring off against friend of the show Paige Beckers in UConn, followed by West Virginia taking on Iowa. And then freshman phenom Juju Watkins leads USC against Kansas. All games are also available on the ESPN app. So we had plenty of action in the women's tournament. So we're going to start off a little this or that. This is where you can get with this or you can get with that. And let me know which clip you like better, all right? So the best sequence from the women's tournament. Do you think, oh, it's Jada Walker hitting the buzzer beater or Malaysia for Wiley gets the block, loses it on the break, but then, what? Comes back out and hits the corner three here. Which one? I mean,
there's one of them is one great shot. One of them is like four great plays.
So we're going with the four great plays.
Yeah, give me that block. Give me the block and everything else.
We could have guessed that. All right, who had the better defense to offense sequence here, Brian? Is it Wemby against the Grizzlies?
Woo! I mean, he was like angled in the air.
Well, but then Mavs at home here against the Utah Jazz. The poor Jazz, they've been on the bad end of a couple of these lately. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, look, Perk, I'm always going to go with Wemby. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I'm just going to go off the top of my head.
I think I'm going with Wemby.
And guess
on this
what?
One.
I'm right there with you.
All three of us. All right. What about this, Brian? Who had the better pass? Nikola Jokic. Watch this.
Yes.
Yes. Over the head to Aaron Gordon. Or, did you see this, though? Austin Reeves doing his best Nikola Jokic impression here. No look there to Cam Reddish in the corner.
I mean,
yeah. It wasn't Jokic, though. You know what I mean? It had a little bounce to it.
It had, it had a little bounce to it.
I like it, but
look,
Jokic stuff is just on time, on
Reeves
target,
is like 6'5", Jokic 7'. I'm going to give it to Reeves.
All right. Well, what about this one, Perk? The better picture here, LeBron James and D'Lo, a little classic of the D-Wade LeBron
Come on.
2010.
Come on. With all due respect to D'Angelo Russell, come on. One of them is iconic. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, imitation is the greatest form of flattery. That's what they say. I kind of liked it. But yeah, the original. All right, LeBron James is rounding into playoff form. But is the best version of the Lakers good enough to contend with the rest of the West? A behind-the-scenes look at LeBron and company right after the break.
NBA Today is presented by Levi's. The floor is yours.
Sweet Tarts dared to combine sweet and tart. But we didn't stop there. We combined soft and bouncy to bring you new Sweet Tarts Gummies Fruity Splits, a uniquely delicious dual-sided gummy with one side that's sweet and one side that's tart, but entirely smooth and squishy. Mmm, a powerfully perfect combo. Sweet Tarts, dare to combine.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
I'm Mike today. I'm Mike. Here we go. Together on three. One, two, three.
Red, red, red.
Stick hand.
Left, 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 left. I got an XX.
We don't have much practice time. Like the other day, we had an opportunity to really get on the floor and just fine-tune some things that we wanted to work on offensively and defensively. So, you know, you can kind of tune in and understand what some of the calls we want to make offensively, some of the calls we want to make defensively. And the practice court is always key.
Mom, come here.
Thanks to LeBron for that behind-the-scenes look at the Lakers' practice. They boarded a flight this morning to Milwaukee as the Lakers begin a six-game road trip with 11 games left. It feels kind of like they're all but set. The ninth seed in the West, they could drop, but not really move up. That would give them a home game to start the play-in tournament, though. The task at hand is starting the trip against the red-hot Milwaukee Bucks, which is not an easy one. Remember, they have not played a game outside the state of California since February 25th. That is a month ago. So, Kendrick, what do you want to see from the Lakers over this final long road trip, extended road trip that they're going on?
I just want to see the playmaking or the trust of the playmaking of Austin Reeves. We saw last night with the Pacers game, soon as Darvin Ham took AD and Braun out the game, the Indiana Pacers started making a run, and then he had to call a timeout and get them right back into the game. So it's the trust of being able to rest Braun and AD. They should blow majority of these teams out if they're focused. But, you know, the others got to elevate their game. D'Angelo Russell, he got to be trustworthy. But if I'm Darvin Ham, position that I'm in right now, is never a point throughout the course of the game that I don't have Anthony Davis or LeBron James on the floor, staggering those minutes or on the floor together, period.
I think consistency.
One of the two got to be on the floor.
I think that's a fair point. I think consistency is a big thing for the Lakers. Sometimes you look at them in the first quarter and you're like, oh, LeBron's got it tonight. The fastball's humming. Sometimes they don't have it. And also health. They got to protect LeBron and his ankle. They got to protect AD no matter where they are in the seating. They got to have those guys healthy. And we still don't have 100% clarity on their other guys who are on the injury list. We still don't know if Jared Vanderbilt can make it back. I would think it would be, even if Vanderbilt off that injured foot, even if he could get back for 12, 14 minutes a night, it could really make them a little bit more potent going into those one game matches.
Two things from last night. One, Spencer Dinwiddie. It was a heck of a performance from him. They've kind of been waiting to see what exactly they can get from him. And if last night is any sort of blueprint, then that is something the Lakers should feel very, very good about. But I asked Darvin Ham about this after the game. No matter how good you felt about the response when the Pacers got within single digits, you cannot give up 145 points against any team and hope to make a deep playoff run. That is not what the Lakers want to hang their hat on. And by the way, we're talking about all of this getting in as the eighth seed to the rights to play Denver in the first round.
I'm excited about it.
We'll continue this conversation tomorrow. Thanks for spending some of your afternoon with us.